Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You are on the air, and hallelujah, it is May 1st. We are in the season of Pentecost. We are excited that God has blessed us to come to this place in Him, and we rejoice and are exceedingly glad. We will enjoy a music selection.
Yeah.
praying these promises, we bring to the forefront the power of the names of God and of the God that made these promises to us. And so the studying of the names of God and the promises and the power of prayer, I believe, will cause us to be firm and firmly grounded in these potential to the turbulent times. I believe that it is so easy in times like this for our emotions to be subject to react and not just respond by processing it through the promises, the power, and through prayer. And so I believe that we become that settling, calming presence in the world and everywhere that we are traveling and journeying. We become that that calming, peaceful presence that the world needs and that God will allow to flow through us. So I'm going to just read the final chapter. I do encourage you to not just put the book down because we read the conclusion, but to check out the appendix and the list of promises and the scriptures that relate to them. And the more of these scriptures we'll read in, I guess it's this book, it's so many books that we are looking at, but you don't just want to hide the word in your heart. You want the word to, and I know the word says, hide that word I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. But as we hide it, we want it to be actively transforming our hearts. And so that which is in the word will be reflected in our attitudes and in our response to our surroundings and surrounding activities and events.
Good morning, Overseer.
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
I just wanted to say this before you got into the chapter. Sometimes I'm just talking too much, so I just didn't want to be a talking head. But made me think about, as you were speaking in this book, the faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And, something I've heard all my life and that kind of thing. But as I've gotten older and as I've read things that talk about specific promises that maybe I didn't even really look at as a promise. Because some of these things, not that it wasn't there and I hadn't read the passage, but, when you go in and he starts to pull out some of these things, which definitely are promises, some of them may be contingent on something else, but still promises that the Lord has made, that when you read the scriptures, just the scripture, when you're just handling the word or somebody is praying and they're reading a prayer where they've compiled multiple faith, that our faith is energized, that our spirit man, it may be the first two or three, you're like, yeah, okay, I know that, I'm the head, not the tail, right. I'm above, not beneath, bless my, goings out, coming in, da, da, da. You'd be like, but if you continue with that, your spirit man will begin to react, not just at the first, well, maybe some people at the first mention, I'm just talking about me, but in a different kind of way than, when it talks about you have to encourage yourself. And that appendix at the back of the book with just all those scriptures or any of the promises. I remember the calendar, a couple years ago you guys had, that had a promise from every book of the Bible in the back. It was like a planner, a date planner you guys had.
Yeah.
And if you just kind of look at those kinds of things. And I found that, take a picture of it have it on your phone, you're just sitting somewhere bored, you know, just read down and meditate. You know, it doesn't always have to be some kind of formal study, but our faith will be increased. Our spirit man can be comforted depending on what we need. And then if we fine-tune what it is that we're looking at as far as the promises, I mean, all the promises will work. They might not all, you know what I mean, all of them are yay and amen. That's what I mean with that, that all the promises are yay and amen.
Yeah.
But if we need comfort or, you know, you're sick and you need to know that, you know, healing is the children's bread, or, you know, why am I saying I'm covered by the blood? And you go back and you look at those seven places where his blood was shed and what we receive from that. You know, I mean, it just takes on a life of its own. There's a momentum and a life-giving force because the word is alive, you know, because he is his word. And I think we have to remind ourselves that, you know, that is really the best weapon in our arsenal, you know, our sword, the sword of the spirit. We have the word of God in those crazy, you know, in those crazy times. And I think especially in times like this where we're kind of in a collective, I don't know, quandary as a country, let alone as black folks. You know, that we need to be able to comfort ourselves, to be able to add a word of encouragement to other people. And really all we have is the word to give them. Because with the present situation, there's really nothing else we can do. You know, I mean, that's all we need to do, but I'm just saying there's nothing else we can do. If you're not a doctor, you're not on the front lines, if you're not coming up with a vaccine for that. And that's not the only thing going on. You know, people are still having all kinds of other issues. But the word will bring faith. So, you know, to look at, when you're looking at this book, because it separates some of the promises and gives you specific promises for particular situations, you know, as we went through the chapters, you know, it's strengthening, you know. And so, you know, I'm kind of with you. I doubt if I'll reread it, but that appendix is just awesome. I'm like, okay, that's a good reference. I might need to cut that out of the back or buy the book, cut it out, because mine was an e-book. But, you know, I mean, it is so awesome, you know, that part of just the whole idea of handling the word. More word, less verbiage. More word, less stories of whatever. Yeah. I understand there has to be an application, you know, an explanation of what they're talking about and an application. But, you know, when it is those scriptures, as we delve into the actual word, I think that made the difference each week as we went through the chapters.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That's a powerful insight. And
You're welcome.
The way you articulated it, because it is now, it's today. It's like you say, it's something we can do. We have a power in our hands. And so often, one week they had a consecration, husband, the Holy Week, and, you know, you had to give up something. And so the thing that he impressed upon me was the TV and the news, because everybody wants to stay up to date and this and stuff, and rightfully so. But what I realized that week, because, you know, obviously when you do that, you have to replace it with something else, and what else is there but the word? Amen. And it was the word that gave the power of peace to my spirit that I didn't think I needed. But once I became, you know, once I became subject to it, like you say, once we get it, you know, then we realize this is the only answer. And it doesn't matter who has a news conference, it doesn't matter what they're saying, because nobody knows anything. And that which they know, they're trying to come into the knowledge of, but as they do it, they're presenting something that really isn't a clear picture and has no answer. And in that kind of state of chaos, even though I think they believe that they're doing best by keeping, you know, the world informed, that you're trying to inform us of something you have no knowledge of because you're still learning, you know, and each time this changes or that changes, I know they were saying that animals couldn't get it, now animals are getting it, you know, you can't get it again, now you are, you know, so you just don't know. But the one
it changes
thing
every day.
That, yeah, exactly. But the one thing that doesn't, that's the Word of God. And the
Hallelujah.
Power of this helps us to overcome. You know, I don't even want to hear what you got. At this point, I'm not even mad at you for saying it. Because I know, you don't, you just don't, you know, Christ said, God, forget him. They don't even know. They don't. And unless they, unless we, you know, really take hold to the Word of God, like you say, this appendix, and just as Christ did when the devil tempted him, all he didn't give him, you know, conversation. He didn't try to give him reasoning or his wisdom. He gave him the Word of God. And that did it. And that's what will do it for us. And so I was very aware of the fact that what we do so often when we hear another voice, it's so easy for us to give that other voice more playtime, if you will, than we give to God and to his word. And to the word that we know. And just like this, the chapter on being the head and not the tail, you know, I got a whole different perspective of that now. After just reading that chapter, I know, like you say, we've heard people say it over and over, I'm the head and not the tail. But now I understand Christ is the head and I'm in him. So where, whatever he is over, which God made him over everything, places me in that place as well. And I should stop being accepting less, you know, passive thing. Nevertheless, I don't have to do that. I don't have to be, you know, that oppressed or victim or the end of the thing. When we're with Christ, he's the head of all things. And so that's a whole mentality, you know, that we need to, I'm the boss, but he's the boss, okay? And he paid cost to be the boss. And, you know, there's nothing that can undo that, and it is unchanging, and it is eternal. That's the best part. And so just having those things shaken up and awakening in our spirit at this time, because it's needed in this time. And so all things are in the fullness of time, and this is God's fullness of time for us to share in the insight and the perspectives that this author gives these two topics, one the promises and then the other the prayers. And so I often thought, I said, well, maybe we should have done the prayers first. But we needed to understand the promises first. And we need to understand who God is. And that is insightful in our study of the names of God. And we've been doing that for years, 2 or 3 years now. And so all of these were foundational things that God was bringing into our walk with him, into our everyday living. He was going to build upon it for such a time as this. And so I am really grateful, like I say, for the way you presented it and the way you articulated it, because what it does is it allows us to understand this is an ongoing process, and the one in charge of it is quite capable. And he is definitely, because we've learned now, these are his commitments to us. And as you said, they may have other things that are necessary to be involved in them, but now we know what they are, and we are empowered to even provide the prerequisite, if you will, for the promise. And we even get that from him. And so it's like a win-win. I mean, and he is doing it all. And so it is taking the focus off of ourselves, because so often we try to do this thing. And as, you know, we keep being taught, we have to become this thing, and by the word being in our heart, and then allowing God to be on the throne of our heart, then our emotions, our thoughts, and our wills will become in line with heaven. And it won't be anything we have to do, because it'll just be who we are. And that DNA will have taken over, that holy DNA will have taken over, and we won't have another response that would be the only response that we know. It's just like the only way I can respond to someone is using English. I don't have another language. That's it. You know, and that's the way our response needs to be emotionally in this world and in our will, in the things we will to do, is to only have that response that is in line with heaven. And so I want us to look at the final conclusion of it, as well as understanding where this is leading us into our next section of our book, which is Powerful Prayers for Supernatural Results. So we know who he is. We have his commitment to us, and then he has presented to us the power of our relationship through prayer. I wanted to read this from With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray, one of the books we considered doing. But what he says is that prayer is heaven's gift to us so that we can communicate with him. And I just wanted to read it in the way he placed it, and actually I'm not going to be able to find it now. But I am going to look at it, and we'll definitely be presenting it with the next. Oh, here it is. It says, the power of the eternal world has been placed at prayer's disposal. It is the very essence of true religion and the channel of all blessings. It is the secret of power and life, not only for ourselves, but for others, for the church, and for the world. It is to prayer that God has given the right to take hold of him and his strength. It is on prayer that the promises wait for their fulfillment. The kingdom waits for its coming, and the glory of God waits for its full revelation. Let us not be slothful and unfit for this blessed work. And so he's sharing with us that the hope, the power of the eternal world is placed at the disposal of prayer. And so we have to know what to pray, how to pray, and the power of prayer. And so the author surely shares that with us as he closes out this book in praying the promises. So that prayer without these promises don't have weight, doesn't have the eternal weight that they were intended to have. Okay? All right. So we will, if there's no comments or insights that anybody wants to share at this time, we will look at the last chapter, the conclusion. Okay. All right. And don't feel like, you know, oh, I talk all the time. No, this is it's a Friday fellowship. That means it is interactive. It's not just me, you know, reading a book, okay, and you being wonderful listeners. No, it is that interaction, because that's what brings our spiritual growth and development, because we need each other to glean those things that are necessary. That's why he said, fail not to assemble yourself. And this is the assembly of the saints. Praise God. Anybody? Anything?
Okay, if you force me, I do have one more comment.
I do
feel guilty, though.
Yes.
But when you said for such a time as this, this is a very unique opportunity for us being sheltered inside and being able to having the opportunity to reach friends and family that we probably wouldn't talk to because our lives can be so busy. But now where everybody's home, I mean, people, you know, cousins and, you know, people, like I won't say people you haven't thought about, but people you don't generally talk to. And I think when we understand for such a time as this, that this pandemic did not catch God by surprise. So when we can just share that God is in control, what gives you the peace is knowing that God is in control. This is not a mistake, and it wouldn't have mattered what was going on, because when things happen, when you look back at it 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it probably won't seem this overwhelming because the shock and awe of it, you know, will be over. But as the body of Christ, to be able to share with those that we love, those that we fellowship with, that He is the God of all comfort. But we have to be convinced, and we have to be able to give them what the Word says, not what we think. Everybody has there's a whole natural side to all of this. You know, people are hesitant to go back into, you know, retail places, go into store, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, need a procedure done. It's like, okay, do I really want to go into a hospital? You know, but we have to understand God is in control. And at any point, something can happen, and things have been happening to people every day, every second, for as long as time has been, you know. So I think that we have that remedy where it says, you know, I know this is kind of an eisegesis to the rest of the, to those who much is given, much is required. But we have the much.
Mm-hmm.
We know who Christ is.
Yeah.
And we can share that. And I think when we share that streamlined and honestly, that it's receptive, because people are receptive right now. They want something.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. people who wouldn't even listen. You know how people call you, like, mm-hmm. well, hey, what's going on? You know, but I know it's just kind of like, well, how are you getting through? Oh, I'm getting through. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Where people just want to know, like, are you freaking out? You know, and those kinds of things. But when we stand on His Word, and just like you said, for such a time as this, been coming since the beginning of time, this day, and, you know, and the Lord knows, and He can use us in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So having those promises, you know, we don't have to try to tell them everything we know, but just that God is able.
Yeah.
And can I pray with you?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
How can I pray for you? You know, and then rarely get somebody who says no. You know, even if they're not prayers, people who pray, you know,
right.
or people who routinely go to church, if you ask,
mm-hmm.
generally, you know, folks will say, yeah, okay. You know, so I think we need to just understand that we are more instrumental and essential, since they're talking about essential workers. We are essential workers, and there are ways that we can do it. So when we commit our works unto the Lord, Lord, how can you use me in this sheltered in place?
You know.
How can you use me? Mm-hmm. Give me some ideas how I can use whatever I have at my resources. You know, we're not trying to go out and do something that's outside of our capacity, but I think the Lord will open our eyes and our hearts to ways we can relate to people, you know, and if we say that we're willing, you know, the folks will come, you know, he will make that happen. So that's all. I'm not going to say that now.
Amen. No, I mean, I think it's one. I think that's something that we have to encourage each other with on a regular basis so we can see the bigger picture. So we can see a God's eye view of this. And I know you mentioned, you know, years from now they look back on it and they may not think, you know, it's as intense as it is as we experienced it. But I really think they're going to look back on it and see what came before and what happened and then what comes after, that it was a blessing. It was a powerful one. It was a traumatic one, but it was a blessing. I think that there are some things that will never be the same, and I pray to God they don't. And I think that there are some things that have to be restructured, and because it was time, but it was no easy way to, as they say, reset. And oftentimes, we even when we spoke of the schools, and my thought was with the children, but even at the children or the seniors, they see now that these are areas that we, as civilized human beings, have fallen short on. And not just the people, but the government and the way these things are funded and oversight of them. Just like DCFS and a little boy who over and over and over somebody reported, but they never took him out, and it ended up, you know, he was abused to the point that was fatal. And so there, these are areas that just need, and it's not that the, I'm not saying it's the DCFS or any of that, but I think it is a, it is the tip of the iceberg, and what's underneath it is greed, and it is self-serving, and it is governments and businesses that just want to make money and want to address issues that are important to them and not the issues that are important to us, and I don't mean us as black people, but us as human beings, because some people live in worlds that's not reality. Anytime you can say golf is an essential activity and church is not, then we have a problem that goes so beyond covert. I mean, covert is essential if you're saved, but if you're not, I mean, and so these are the things that need to be unearthed, and people need to see it with their own eyes. And I don't think before they saw it, I think they live, we kind of live, you know, with our heads in the sand and only then in our little circle, and that's, you know, but when you really look at this thing prayerfully, it will activate passion and creativity and innovation that will make huge changes. I know that is one of the prophetic words they say on this alpha generation, the children that are born and the millennials between from in this century, and how they're going to do things different. But sometimes, in order to do things different, you need a foothold into the system. And I think that this gives people a foothold into what do they call it? Like the old boys club, if you will, you know. But the government institutions that, you know, all they just had a certain look of, you know. And it had a certain mentality, and that is changing. And I think that something like this even brings out what's in the heart of people. When you can have such inequities that are obvious to even, I mean, every nation around this nation sees it. And so the things that we do in other countries as, you know, the, what do you call it, the knight in shining armor to save someone else when there's such a plank in our eye, you know, we needn't point a finger at anybody else. And so I think that this will be a healing time as it is a revelatory time. And some things can't heal until it's revealed. And this is bringing a revelation in a lot of areas that have been grossly inequitable, just have been actually to almost to the point of cruelty and abuse, governmental and power abuse. So I think that is one of the things that we need to document. Prophet indicates how this is a generation that has five generations that are very productive influences in society. In past times, you didn't have these many generations that all coexisted because the lifespan was not as it is now. And so, and then as the younger ones having younger ones or not having them, but the fact that you have all of these generations now allow them to feed off of each other to bring about a better future They say you have to understand the past in order to progress in the future. And because the past is all around us in the form of these five generations, I think that it'll give us a good base of going forward. And as you use this word, innovation, but change, violently rearranging some things that are so wrong to the core and affecting the majority of the people. So I that's what I believe we're in that kind of season where heaven is revealing some truth that the earth needs to take notice of. Anybody else? A great conversation. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Anybody else?
I was listening to Deborah and then looking at the last promise where we would be like him at the end.
Yeah.
And our emotions and our intellectual. And I was saying, even with this coronavirus and being at home, I done found myself doing more if I was out. So, you know, with the mm-hmm. people, and I live by myself, per se. My mama, you know, she always says she on the second right. floor. It's a family house, but she got this level up here where I am now. But up and down the stairs, the phone ringing, people call more. I get more phone calls now than I did when I was working. And as Deborah was saying, Elder Deborah, that we do listen to people and being most people asking for prayer. The people I know, they're asking for prayer. But the thing is faith and believing in what you're praying. Because if we don't believe in our prayers, then we're still not going to see results. And I'm looking at everything now as what I'm learning with the different leaderships, you know, the different people. When I listen to different people, I look at the believers as Mary and those that making demands on want to see things happen right away, that Martha spirit, and then the Lazarus. But as the people of God, we're all supposed to be following him. He said, follow me. And then as if we're true faith believers at such a time as this, when he said, don't worry, we don't have to fear. We can cast all our cares on him. Mostly everybody know me, know my mom. You know, she's 96, and she had started passing out. And we were like, oh, man, we won't even be able to have a funeral. Don't think about it. You think on those things which are pure, which are lovely, which are, you know, we have to focus on what are we thinking about. And even at this, you see more people. They're not afraid of death. And these are people that's not believing in Christ. They're not wearing the masks because they're at a point of they life that they don't care if they live or die. And then when you see that the enemy has gotten people that it doesn't matter if they live or die. See, we're as the people of God, we should be willing to die daily. But we got a purpose of why we're dying. They're dying because they don't want to live in the condition that they're in. So I've been praying and asking God, how can we compel, as some Bibles say, compel the people to want to live for God? And as we take a stand, when we take a stand on what we believe, and we go out and we talk to the people and not put our mouths on them, because we as the people of God know that what we're saying, if we're cursing people out, they're going to be cursed. And I look at family, they tell me, you're so about family. It starts in our homes. If we saying people not going to be amount to this, and not going to ever get saved, then they probably won't. But when we look at the family and we find out when it's not acting right, and one of the pastors called and asked, can we cast out demons? The Bible said we can in Jesus' name. We can't do it, but we have the authority to be like Jesus. So now as we come together on these promises, and that's when I try to get whatever I can, when God talking and he has given me an invitation to come, I try to get there because I don't come to hear what people got to say. When I come, I want to hear what God has to say through his people. Now, when you know you come to hear from God, you won't hear the other people. You with God, oh, he's so awesome. He'll say, my sheep hear my voice, and he'll give you what you need. And I hear him saying today, I have done a needs assessment of my people, not just United States of America. We have done some awful things. If you go back in the history of what America has done, God is not pleased. And the thing is, he's not pleased with people, but he's pleased with Jesus. So when I think about all the wrongdoers, I stay focused on Jesus now, and I ask God, what can I do? He say, obey. So when we come together on blog, Fridays, Mondays, and I was like, wow, Lord, it's every day. But when we can come together and hear from God, this is what he want us to do. And then watch your phone going to be ringing. People going to be coming to your door. And even people you don't know, they want to hear because they need to hear what? The good news. So I was just reading this book, the final promise. I got Elder Deborah, I was reading it. And I was getting happy because I was saying, well, Lord, at least I can see some of this. I'm getting better because you're patient. You know, when you can have patience with yourself and self-control, I'm still asking for that one. But when we can see that God is doing things new in our own lives, then you just stay focused on God. He say, one will plant, another will water, but it's him that do the increase. We don't have to worry about we go and help get saved. No, we didn't save nobody. We just obeyed. The people don't belong to us. The people still belong to God. So it's just a lot of new information I'm learning here. And I'm not afraid of no corona, but because I didn't been in worse danger than that. But God wants us to be wise, you know, with the world system. Yeah. He wants wisdom from his, you know, the wisdom that he's given us. And that's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit it conquers all, you know. We know we can't lose when we do it God's way. So I just thank God for being able to come together, learn, reading the book, and looking forward to the next one. And one other thing, I don't know if anybody else, I'm praying that when we can come together and be face-to-face with one another, it may be a long ride, but with the wisdom and power of God, he will be able to bring us together and fellowship.
I agree. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. So we're going to ask all that with anybody else? We're going to really read through the conclusion because it really sets the stage for the next book, and which he probably did wrote them that way. But anyway, it says, these promises are a part of you now. As Kenneth Hagin once said, you are what you read. So these promises are not just concepts you have stored on the dusty shelves of your mind. They are manna from heaven you have digested into your regenerated spirit. They are a part of your sonship identity now, a substantial aspect of who you are in Christ. Like the mysterious hormone called adrenaline, these promises will enable within you secretly, peacefully, patiently waiting for that moment when life pressures you beyond your capability to sufficiently respond, that they will rush with Godspeed to the affected area, granting you supernatural strength, not only to endure, but to overcome. Brother Hagin also insists prayer is successful only when it is based on the promises of God's word. After you close this book, make a strong determination that from now on you're going to quit praying problems and start praying promises. No longer will you spend precious hours of intercession reminding God of the conflict, the disappointments, the failures, the hindrance, the battles, and the challenges. Instead, you intend to remind him of the commitment he has made to you in his word. When the children of Israel were, when the children of Israel had been in Egypt bondage over four centuries, scripture states that they sighed because of the bondage, and they cried, and God heard their groaning. But that was not the reason God moved so powerfully on their behalf. At the same time, there was probably millions of other enslaved and oppressed people in the world sighing, praying, and groaning, yet the Creator did not respond to those with such a supernatural display of power. What made the difference? The last part of that verse, 24. It reveals the secret. God remembered his covenant. That's why he treated the Israelites differently. But you have a better covenant established on better promises. A scripture that we looked at the beginning of the book. One of my favorite verses in the Bible contains four promises I want to share with you at the close of this book. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. As a final prayerful act of worship, based on all that you have read so far, claim that beautiful fourfold pledge right now. Spend time waiting on the Lord, claiming the promises dearest to your heart, and then start soaring on the wings of hope and peace. Mount up above the clouds where the sun always shines. Then run with the vision God has given you and walk in the light, dispelling darkness everywhere you go. Your strength has been renewed by the one who says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. From John 14:14. There are so many promises we haven't highlighted, yet thousands of pledges I would like to share with you that cover every area of need in your life. But we have run out of space. 25 primary promises have been emphasized so far, with 275 other promises used in explanation, and that's 300 total. That's enough to win any battles. All Gideon needed were 300 men to blow shofars, break lamps, and shine their light to scatter the Midian army. All you need to emerge triumphant on your personal battlefield are the 300 divine pledges we have celebrated. Now, like one of Gideon's soldiers, lift your voice like the shofar. Proclaim these promises with an audacious faith. Don't hide them in your heart. Break a lamp of the word open and shine the light of truth. Now stand your ground and watch the enemy scatter. The time for victory has come. What a powerful way to end this book. So I appreciate our gatherings. I am so encouraged and blessed by them, and I look forward to the powerful prayers for supernatural results. I pray that everybody has been able to procure the book. It's not not going to be one that we can basically read the chapter every day, because there's so much power in these chapters. So we're going to look at even the base of each chapter. You know, it's going to it's broken up by prayer, by Bible heroes, characters, for the reasons that what the character is going through. And it is actually 10 chapters, and I would imagine we would spend 2 weeks on each chapter, because I do want us to be able to read the scriptural background of that character so that we can understand the fullness of the presentation. And a lot of things is taking into consideration that you do know, for instance, you do know who Moses is, and Hannah, and Asa, and Jehoshaphat, and Elijah, and Hezekiah. And it's okay if you don't know. And that's why we're going to take our time, because we want to be able to read the scripture background of these heroes in the Bible, and why their prayers brought about supernatural results. Amen?
Amen. Thank God for the labor.
Amen. Enjoy May 1st. Come out to the drive-in service, and then we're doing our prayer drive afterwards. So it's really a very celebratory time. You're going to decorate your cars. We have all kinds of things. We'll put decals in the window to make us unify as a church as we go through our prayer drive of the neighborhood. We're going to have a glorious day. So prayerfully, individuals will be out, and so you want the messages on your cars to impact individuals with hope and with joy, and even with a reminder, because a lot of it is a very neighborhood with a lot of settled individuals in it, and I'm sure a lot of them go to churches that are not open now, and so they're sitting it virtually and that sort of thing. And so I think it's just on a Sunday morning to be able to wave in fellowship with the saints at social distancing, you know, it's just encouraging. And then to hear a word, to see, you know, this is the move of God through a love in his, or his people, with the love of God going through the neighborhood to bring church to where they are with social distancing and with rejoicing, because we definitely go forth in prayer and in praise and in celebration of whose we are. And so it is a high time. It's very unusual way of worship, but it is also a very satisfying way. When you pull up and you see the different individuals in their cars and putting their own creativity around their cars so that they can speak without even speaking as they go forth, it's really a creative, innovative, and a wonderful worshiping and fellowshipping time. And so there is global family communion that we're going to have on Mother's Day, which is not this Sunday, but next Sunday. And so we would love for you to be part of that, coming out, having a global family communion in your cars, very unique, with even oils of anointing in your cars, on your own. And just some really, really innovative things that will teach us, I do think, too, of this is how it will look when we're out in the fields. You know, when he told the disciples, you know, don't take anything with you, just go out there. You know, well, we're going out there, and we're going out there prepared and knowing how to take our worship out there. That what we would do within the four walls. We could take it wherever we go. And so we have that brown bag worship experience that you can keep in your car with items that are essential, and then those that are fun, and then those that are convenient, I'll just say, that you can always have with you if a need arises. And we thank God that the leadership has brought forth an answer to the need for refreshing. And so though you're not allowed to go in the building, we do have available, actually, I'll just say what it is. We got a porta potty, okay, so that those that need to release themselves can do so. And so we're really excited about just God meeting the needs. There's some things that, you know, as this shelter in place has continued, we didn't know it was just for 1 month, you know, we can deal, you know. So now that we see that it's going to be ongoing at least for another month, which is 5 Sundays, we do want to make the environment in the parking lot more accessible to people and comfortable for people, so that people are going to be able to be a part of it. So we're also considering some things as it relates to those that don't drive. But we do want to encourage you to come out and to worship with us, and to worship wherever you are, to enjoy that worship and give God your very best, no matter how or where you go. Give it to him because he is so worthy of it. And so on that, I will say, I hope I didn't forget any other announcements. Remember that if you know someone that's in need of food or necessities or that sort of thing, you can always contact the ministry at 773-779-2900. Have a wonderful group, ministry group that's going out so awesomely twice a week with phenomenal stuff. And so we want to thank all of those that have contributed. A lot of them did things in honor of loved ones that have gone on. And just celebrating God, what he's done in our life, and showing or expressing to God our gratitude and humility, our humble appreciation of him allowing us to be his children. And so get connected to some excitement. As Pastor Roger shared, there this Monday night, this class is over. This past CCTI is over, and it'll come back on May 18th. So you want to be a part of it. It's a powerfully exciting time. A lot of teaching going on. Every Wednesday, we are on Blog Talk. And you know that on Friday, we're on Friday Fellowship of Learners. And every second Saturday, we have stuff going on Blog Talk. So if you don't have a program of some events going on, we have Tuesday prayer and fast. We pray 3 times a day. God, at 5 a.m. at, always get it wrong, I believe it's 1 p.m. at 6 p.m. Or is it 12? No, it's 1.
1. 1.
Thank you. Okay, 1 and 6. Something else is at 12. I get all this stuff confused. So if you need any ministry information, just call the church, 773-779-2900, and we can get the information to you. Or you can text me on your phone, and I can email the information to you. We have a trifold of announcements that we, with a lot of numbers, because the Blog Talk number, the phone numbers, and the Facebook, and the Instagram, and all of those other things, which we are on Facebook Live, I believe they call it, on Sunday. And the prayer drive will be filmed as well on Facebook on Sunday. They have a remote where they actually, you see the drive, but individuals from all over the country are praying. So we have Florida praying and Seattle praying, Nevada praying, Virginia praying, Ohio praying. So they're praying from all over, and it's just amazing. It's wonderful. And those even from Illinois, Indiana. And so just join us. We love you, and we love God. We love his people. So have a blessed day.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.